Yo, gorillas, welcome to the next episode of the Athlete Insider podcast. I'm really happy to be here today with a really special person from Russia. And yeah, Matthew is here to share his story, to share his workout advice, and like to give you a short introduction on who Matthew is. Matthew is like one of the strongest street lifters, like weighted calisthenics athletes in the world right now. With insane records like the 195 kilo dip and the 125 kilo pull up, and today hopefully you will share some insights on like on your training, on your day, to get people to know you better. So welcome, Matthew.
Thank you so much. Welcome everybody. I'm glad to be here.
And I'm glad to have you here, because it's a really big honor. A lot of people were asking for you, and so here we are. So the first question, how do you present yourself to somebody who doesn't know you?
Well, I just present myself as Matthew, so like Matvey in Russian or Matthew to English speakers. And if they ask about what kind of sport I do, what kind of activities I do, I present myself as a street lifter, as a weighted calisthenics athlete, and the dude who trains on the pull-up bar and the dip bars with heavy weights. It's basically the easiest way to explain my sport to a random person who doesn't know what street lifting is.
Okay, and I bet like a lot of people think you are some kind of bodybuilder. You just do like the normal bodybuilding stuff.
Yeah, they call me like local Mr. Olympia or something.
Yeah, because I can imagine like you don't look like a typical calisthenics athlete. Like, of course, like more like a weighted athlete, but like you are huge. Like, what are your measurements? How tall and heavy are you?
Right now I'm 182 centimeters tall, around 98-99 kilos body weight. I dropped around 7 kilos so far in this season because I was like at 105, 106 at my heaviest, but I was really fat, so I had to drop some body weight. Right now I'm feeling quite comfortable, but my goal weight is 95.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I'm done.
Nice. So that's like really insane. I'm happy that you fit into the image. So yeah, really happy to have you here. So for the people who don't know your story like too much, how did you come to weighted calisthenics? How is your like your journey in calisthenics and fitness and strength training?
Well, my journey is quite a long one, actually, and it started all the way back in 2012 when I decided to try myself and see how strong I actually am, and tried doing push-ups in the morning, and I only managed like 15 reps, and it was like very disappointing for me. I was extremely disappointed that I decided to get better. Like, and for a year, every morning, I did push-ups. I went from 15 to like 75, and then my grandmother, she knew some kind of like not a strength coach but rather a physical rehab coach, something like this, like a physiotherapist, and she gave me to him to like to bring up some weak points, but this dude saw potential in me, and I started training heavy in the gym. Like, I did everything: squats, deadlift, bench. And at the age of 13 years old and a body weight of around 73 kilos, I managed to bench 105, like all the way back. And it was a very crappy day, actually, and it wasn't my real max, but the coach just said that, no, we are not going heavier, it's dangerous.
Okay.
But I was like ready to go for more. And then I had to take a break for around 6 months or so because I experienced my first problems with with hypertension, with high blood pressure. And this set me back quite a bit, but this also made me switch the focus to calisthenics because like my parents were against me training like in the gym, but they are just normal people. So in the mind of a normal person, like the gym is associated with extremely heavy, unhealthy loads, but bodyweight training is associated with something okay. But in reality, it's just load. So I used this exploit to continue training because I fell in love with it, like the first heavy session in the gym. So I found some local guys, like showed off a little bit with my pull-ups. Like I learned the one-arm pull-up actually at that age, at early 14 years old. And it felt great because everyone was impressed, and it was extremely easy to make friends when you can just show something crazy on a pull-up bar. Like, and it just, I just got sucked in. Like I made some really great friends and switched to street workout. Like I did street workout for around 7 or 8 months until like the new year of 2015. Then it became really cold and unmanageable really to train on the streets. And I decided to go to a gym, but promised to my parents that I won't do anything like barbell, dumbbell related, just do bodyweight training in the gym because it's warm. And also in February of 2015, I got to to try weighted calisthenics for the first time. And I it was love. It was just something that I was made for this. I really felt that. Like my first tries with the dips, it was 20 kilograms for 11 reps. Like, and back in the day, I did dips only full range of motion. So like shoulder almost down to the bars themselves. Like it wasn't like a 90 degree dip like I do right now. Like in the beginning, I always did the dips with full range of motion. And actually, it served a very good purpose later because my joints were always prepared for some extra inches, like extra centimeters of range of motion, and I never got injured because of this. And on the pull-ups, my first try was 32 kilograms for 6 reps, and then I tried dips with 32 and also got 6 reps. So like my first results were 32 for 6 on both movements.
Wow, with... what age?
14.
14. Okay.
14 years old, yeah.
And
I...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Like, and then I just got 7, 8, 9 reps, like then 40 kilos. Then I learned the front lever because of my basics, mostly with attempts. Never really trained it, but when I started training it, it became even easier. Then one-arm pull-ups came into play. I started training them also, went from 3 to 7, 8 reps in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
Tried 10 kilograms, got 2 reps. Tried 16, got 1 rep. Then a bit later, got 2 reps with 16 on the left. Like also got some crazy stuff like one finger, one-arm pull-ups. Like then later I tried it with 16 kilos at 15 years old and succeeded. It was in a competition and I never actually repeated it until 2017 when I did it for a video also. Like 2 times in my life I have ever tried this thing.
Crazy. And when people want to watch it, I think a lot of things are also visible on YouTube, on your YouTube channel. Where you are younger, I think it's really interesting to watch. To watch the young Matthew with long hair, like it's nice to watch. So for everyone who is interested, like Matthew's YouTube channel will also be in the description, and it's nice to watch.
So it has some story. Yes.
Yeah. That's true. So and like, what is your secret? Like just. Being like really direct, like what do you think is your secret to be making so much improvement in such a short time? Like, is it the genetics? Is it your training form? What is it?
Well, I never really had a secret. I just got it quite easily. Like if I really pushed something, it went. It really went with me. Like it's true for me, like in general life as well. So like, if I push studying, it goes well. If I push language learning, it goes well. If I push training, it goes well. So I was just kind of used to this mentality already when I started training. So like I expected improvement and I got improvement. So like I didn't have that limit in my head that like this thing will be hard. no. Like, I just, but still sometimes I surprise myself with how much I improved in a short time.
And is it,
I don't know, maybe it's genetic, but I have never laid myself back and never abstained from hard work in the gym. My problem was actually limiting myself because I, like back in the day, I really tend to go into overtraining, not recovering well. Like, I always love to push myself very hard. And later I got the point that, like, organizing this properly is the key. Like, when you have that fiery temper in yourself and you also apply, like, cold brain, cold analysis, and this, like, the total that you get is perfect for progress. So it has to be balanced. Like, you have the temper, you have the desire, you have the passion, and you have the cold-minded approach, the programming, the thought you put into this, and with this approach you get the best results. Maybe that's the kind of secret, but I think it's on the surface. So
okay, what I'm interested in is it difficult for you to be the first one doing things? Because there are some, like, if you watch at the numbers that you're lifting, you're, for quite some numbers, you're the first human being, like, at least known or recorded, who did stuff. And is it difficult in your mind to not think it's impossible for a human being?
It takes some time to expand my limits. Like, back in the day, I thought that 100 kilo pull-ups was hard, like, were hard. And but as you get stronger and stronger and stronger, like, your mental limits also expand. So I guess now I'm basing things more of my personal feelings, of my personal experience, rather than like some kind of world record or anything, because I have my own standards right now. Like, I realized that if something is impossible for a lot of people, it doesn't mean that it's impossible for you. So it's that kind of mentality, like basing things off your possibilities, your ability. And it's useful not only for like breaking world records, but also for regular people who also tend to like have like pro athletes, world record holders, like the best people as their role models, and trying to like be similar to them, like to be the same. But the thing is that you always have to ground your vision of yourself based on what you can do and what like your body is capable of.
Okay.
And that's the same for me.
Okay. Do you have the situation sometimes that somebody says to you a 200 kilo dip is impossible? Like, it's impossible, Matthew, you should like not try, or are there situations like that?
Well, after I boosted my dip from 185 to 195 in 2 weeks, then nobody had that notion anymore.
Okay.
But it was just like that jump actually exhausted me, so I failed 200 kilo dip after. Like, it was like, as a natural athlete, you have these jumps which are rare, and sometimes you can really boost your progress, but then you have to pay for it with like months of stalls. So, but yes, after the 195, nobody even thought that 200 is impossible.
Okay. Nice. And like, I remember being in Vienna last year and sitting there with Adam Raw, who just had you as an athlete on his competition at the Czech workout battle. And he was mm-hmm. like completely blown off by the performances that you showed. So, and he told me that you're a lot into planning. Yeah, like you're planning a lot your workouts. You have a really strict workout. That's like at least what I remember. Do you want to talk about like how you structure and plan your training?
Yeah, why not? Like, we won't go into like a lot of depth in here, but I can say some basic things, some like outline some basic principles, whatnot.
Okay, so like, what does your training schedule look like and how do you plan it?
Like, right now I am basing things off with I have a 3-week cycle right now. Like, 1 week is structured a bit similar to the Texas Method program, And I think that the Texas method, are you familiar with it actually?
No, and I think most of the visitors, although some of them aren't as well.
Well, so basically to explain, the Texas method is a classic powerlifting routine for intermediate level athletes. And the main the main pro of this method is that it's really simple, but it's really efficient. So it's a weekly cycle. Basically, you have the loading phase, like a hard training session in the beginning. Like the original Texas method has 5x5 on Monday. So like 5 sets of 5, the heavy session. Then you have 2 sets of 5 light sets with a lot of reps in reserve on Wednesday, the easy session, the deload. And then you have the max out session on Friday where you take your 5 rep maxes. So I have modified this scheme. Basically, my light session is on Tuesday, not on Wednesday. So I have 2 sessions in a row. And it's not like a deload session, but rather like an assistance session where I do my posed work. So right now I put a lot of effort into my posed training, and it really helps me, especially on the dips. Like if you want a big dip, you have to do posed reps to strengthen the most vulnerable part of the motion. The 3-week cycle is basically, I alter the load between weeks. So 1 week is 3 sets of everything. The next week is 4 sets of everything. The next week at my max performance is 5 sets of everything. And like if I take 6 sets, maybe I will recover, but it won't be sustainable. And I cycle this. So during the light week, I recover. And then I accumulate the load to push myself. And then I recover again, adding some weight every week. So like right now, it works something like this.
Okay. And do you have do you train with a workout book or like printed tables, or how do you enter everything in your mobile phone?
I just remember everything really.
Okay. Okay.
But I need to remember everything to the point of technique on a given rep of a given set on a given day, then I usually just record everything and have it on my phone as video.
Okay. And I can imagine that you need to eat a lot of calories. So how is it possible? What is your nutrition like? How is it possible for you to keep or to gain even mass?
Well, actually, that's not true. And if compared to my friends, I usually eat around the same or even less.
Okay.
I can bust a great session on almost empty stomach, and it's easy for me to eat not a lot. And usually I experimented a lot with different kinds of food before training. Right now I'm eating oatmeal before training, and it works great. It really charges me up with the right type of carbs, and I feel great and energized before training. And then later in the day, I just eat something chicken, different kinds of grains, pasta, whatever, regular food. And back in the day, I also used to eat a lot of chocolate and bring up the calories by this, but it was just an addiction. And right now I don't really eat chocolate, and that's why I dropped 7 kilos, because I'm trying to lose weight right now. But usually, yes, chocolate is a part of my regular eating habits, something like this.
Okay. And you also do you offer personal training, but you have your workout plans, that's right? And do you also
yes.
offer
programs?
Online coaching?
Online coaching, I don't really do that as of now, because I don't think I'm ready for serious coaching, because I think I still have to improve to really take people on. So right now I'm coaching only one person, for money, and 2 friends for free, Gleb and Artem Shirokov. Maybe you know him, the dude with a 60 kilo muscle up on the ring.
Wow, crazy.
Pere did this, and also Artem later did this. Basically, Artem's training was planned by me.
Nice.
So right now I'm just accumulating practice to later just be a good coach, because I don't think that right now I'm capable of really taking people and providing them like quality service. I still need to improve. Like, online coaching is a serious thing and you have to be very responsible when you start it. So a bit later, yes, I will do this, but right now I'm still accumulating my practice and experience.
Okay, so if people want to learn from your experience right now, they can like learn by online, by the programs that they can buy.
By the programs, or just ask me, like, okay. I answer almost everyone if the question is adequate.
Okay, awesome. So if ever anyone is like interested in his and Matthew's workout programs, we will also put a link down below under the video.
My Instagram, basically, it's just Instagram. I don't have a website.
Ah, okay, okay. That's good. We'll do that. So what does the day, one day in a one typical day in the life of Matthew looks like? Like, how does it, what do you do during the day?
Well, right now it's actually quite laid back and easy because I quit university like a year ago because it was messing with my mental health or something. But right now I'm in this intermediate stage of life where I'm basically deciding what I'm going to do next. And basically right now I don't do anything but training and spending time with my friends or by myself. Okay. Like, I wake up, eat my meal, either go for a walk or for a training session, have a different meal, go for a walk, like read something online or watch some videos, and maybe go for another walk and then go to sleep. Something like this. Very simple. Nothing really complicated.
Okay. And when you say you go for a walk, you don't mean cardio, but you just move.
Well, it's a kind of cardio because I walk quite a lot every day. But it's not like an intense cardio. It's just regular walking, but I can walk like 20, maybe up to 30 kilometers per day, and it's normal for me.
What? That's crazy. Do you have a counter on your mobile phone who counts the steps you do? Or
yeah, steps is usually, like, my daily average is around 20,000.
What? That's insane. Like, I have to admit that I, like, I track my steps as well, and my goal is 5,000 every day because I'm in the office, and most days I don't achieve this. So 20,000 for me is crazy.
Well, actually, like, back in the day when I was training at the gym, not at home, like, to the gym and back, it's 6,000 steps. So 5,000 is nothing really for me personally.
Yeah. That's the bad point of doing everything by bike, by bicycle. So yeah.
Well, bicycle is also really good.
Yeah, it is, like, of course. But the watch doesn't count. That's bad for the ego. It hurts my ego that the watch doesn't count the bicycle steps. But yeah. Okay, nice. So something that I was interested in is, do you think everybody is able to do the performances, or would be able to do the performances that you show with the same training, with the same diet, and maybe also the same body type?
Well, with the same body type, probably everyone. Like, there is nothing special about me. I have seen many guys with genetics better than mine, like, for sure, like, for definitely for sure. And I think that my case is just the one of passion and the cold-minded approach. Like, because, like, my genetics are good, but not like one out of a million. Like, they're not super great. So I think that the case is that, like, so far nobody has been so obsessed as I was. Like, this is the case. Maybe, like, some people, like Andrei Smayev, who recently broke the chin-up world record, he's also obsessed to this degree. But really, it's just about how hard you go.
Okay. Okay. Wow. That's crazy. It's like, it's hard to believe because, like, It's did you ever train like twice a day, or is it like how does somebody from the outside see your passion? Like how is it, like how does it transmit into the day?
Well, actually, like a lot of people think that I train every day or several times a day, but when they hear that I train like three times a week like a normal person, they go surprised. And basically training makes me happy. Like when my training is good, I feel happy. Like, and this is the way it transfers to my everyday life. Like when I had a good training session, I usually don't quarrel with anybody. I'm just happy and chill, something like that.
And don't you have the try to work out every day if it makes you happy? Or is it like, what do you do on rest days? Is it like, damn it?
Well, it's a bit of that, yes. But like training every day doesn't work unless you split it somehow, but I have only two exercises in my workout, so split options are quite limited. And also, as it works the best for me to do pull and push in a single workout, so splitting is even more limited, so I'm stuck with having rest days, and I think it's fine. Like one thing is that it makes you happy, but the main thing is getting them results. So without the results, the training is pointless. So you gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay, so you wouldn't have so much fun in the training if you wouldn't have the results, right?
Like my training is purely for the results. Like the fun is about setting PRs and getting the new results. Like the process is good, yes, but the results are much better.
Okay. And until now, what was the most rewarding moment in your athletic career?
Probably the CWWB of 2019 when I was in Czech Republic.
Okay.
It was great. It was great, and I also surpassed my expected performance on the pull-up. But the dip was kind of lacking behind because my main goal for that competition was to dip 180 officially. But on pull-up, I expected nothing more than like 110, but I got 120 on the pull-up and only 170 on the dip because like the pull-up was first and there was a lot of time between movements, so I got burned out and later I couldn't mobilize myself. And then I came back home like 2 days, like 3 days after that, and I did 180. I was ready. It just was a psychological thing.
Okay. Do you feel like a big boost when you perform under like adrenaline on a competition? Do you feel like a lot more strength then?
Well, it's a tricky thing because on competition, the equipment also differs. Like my physical state is great on competition. Even if I had crappy sleep and crappy food, like on competition, I'm always strong. But the thing is that, especially for dips, like I focus a lot on the dips, like pulls are secondary for me. And the dip bars really differ between competition, the dip bars, the belts, the plates, and it makes a lot of difference. And usually I just can't transfer my strength perfectly in a competition. Like my dip bars over there were made personally for me and they are perfect, but none of the dip bars that were in competition, even the Adam Rowe dip bars, which were made specifically for CWWB, they weren't perfect either. So, like, but on the pull-up, my performance really does improve.
Okay.
So it really depends on the circumstances.
Okay. And like I also wanted to share like your story with your custom-made dip bars, because for me it's really it shows your passion for the sport, for your training. You want to share the story behind the custom-made like dip bars in your gym? Why did you do it? How did you achieve to finance it, etc.?
Well, it wasn't that hard actually, because like the dip bars that I had in my gym, like in Safari Sport, which I have attended for the last 5 years or something, they were great. They were comfortable, but the bars themselves were like really thin, like a normal pull-up bar or something. And they also were quite fragile, so to say. Like, I have tried 200 on them, but even at 140, 150, the bars start bending a little bit. It was quite scary. Yeah. And also, like, I have a friend, Gleb, which is here right now. And for me, the bars were perfect, but for him, they were a little bit too wide in, like, too wide. So he had his forearms like this, not like this perfectly, but like this. And so it, like, I thought about it and really came to a conclusion that my own custom-made dip bars need to be made the thing. Like, it would it would show the passion, and it would be great for Gleb, it would be great for me, they would be durable. And later on, it also got apparent that it was a great thing to do because of the coronavirus thing, and having a personal set of dip bars was perfect for this situation because I could just take them home and train.
Yeah, that's something that I guess a lot of street lifters would have wished, to just take the dip bars from the gym or from the park home. So yeah, that was like something that I liked. I liked the story.
Also, these dip bars have a fun story to them. Like, they were made really cheap, like very cheap, under 500 euros actually, but the delivery was around the same cost as the dip bars themselves, because they were transferred all the way from Moscow. And when they arrived, they were like in one piece. They weren't dismountable. And the doors we have in our gym are very like narrow. And basically they didn't fit. And we had to call a master to basically cut them in half, like transfer the halves all the way to the gym and then wield them back together. And then we had to do it the second time to get them back to my home. But the second time, we actually made them dismountable. So right now, they have a lock underneath.
Oh, man.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of decision-making. So it wasn't easy at all.
Crazy. That's a nice story. I didn't even know that. Wow. But you also train your front lever is also really strong. Is it something that you are just able to do, or do you train for it sometimes?
It is something that I trained back in the day. That's it. Like, I have trained it, and I don't have to do anything really to maintain it. It just is there, and like, I do it sometimes to show off, sometimes to test it, and that's enough to maintain the strength basically.
Okay.
Same with handstand push-ups, with iron cross, with
you can basically do iron cross.
Like, I did it yesterday like a couple of days ago. I'll post it into my Instagram a couple of days later.
Nice. That's crazy to see, because as you said, like, if I understand it right, your workout only consists of two exercises.
Yes, it does.
Pull-ups and dips.
Yes.
So one-up pull-ups is just something that you do from time to time?
No. Like, one-up pull-ups, it used to be three exercises. It used to be one-up pull-ups also in the beginning, but like, when I started preparation for CWWB, I got chronic soreness in my chest. Like, I was training a lot, and one-arm pull-ups were hurting me, basically. And also, like, at that point, I already set a world record of 32 kilos. So it was my goal for years. And when I finally achieved it, I was satisfied. So, like, I had no problem removing them and leaving just two exercises in my training.
So if I do tomorrow, like, I do a 36 kilo one-arm pull-up, then you will start taking the third exercise in your workout, right?
Probably not, because, like, my friend Gleb, who is sitting right here next to me, he has a great genetic predisposition for one-arm pull-ups. He doesn't train one-arm pull-ups at all, and he did 20 kilos first try.
Wow. Okay.
So if he trains it, he can do 40, maybe even 50 kilos, but Not now. Okay. Right now, he is going for the 100 pull, and then maybe he will start one-arm pull-ups.
Okay. Nice. So what are the biggest mistakes that you see people do in calisthenics or street lifting, especially?
Like, I can go on about this for a long, long, long time, which won't fit into the interview, but if we sum it up, the biggest problem in street lifting is the bodybuilding type of thinking. So people come into this sport thinking that everything works just like in bodybuilding, and you see this a lot in like in various aspects, in technique of the movements, when they say that protracted shoulders on the dip is bad for like because it doesn't work chest as much, and then they load up the dip and then they get like shoulder injuries and they complain about it in the internet, and like it's just stupid, really. They don't understand that there are different forms for building muscle and for building strength. This is the one aspect. The second aspect is rep ranges. Like, a lot of people think that 8 reps, 10 reps, 12 reps are useful for street lifting. And I think for novices they are, but when you get more advanced, you move like closer to 4 to 6 reps. And for me, even 6 reps is endurance. So like right now I work mostly 3 to 4 reps or singles. So also a big one is rest times. Like rest times is like a number one thing that came from bodybuilding, because people think that resting more than 3 minutes between sets is bad. Like, I don't know why they think that. Like, why? Because when you rest a lot, when you rest like 5, 6, 8, 10 minutes, you are able to do more total volume. And as a result, you get more results. Like, you get better outcome of a session. And why would it be bad? And I see people wasting a lot of gains because of like rest times, like 2 minutes or 1:30. This is a big one. Also, I did a lot of assistance exercises. Like, this is my personal point. I don't like assistance as a thing at all. Like, for assistance, I personally do just pause movements. But I consider that for some people, assistance might be useful. And it's a tool that you must have in your toolbox, like, so to say. But still, I see people doing assistance without putting any thought into it, without like analyzing the movement and analyzing the schedule and applying the assistance that you need at the right time. They just throw in a bunch of curls, a bunch of rows, a bunch of everything, and then complain about how they don't recover and how the progress is not there. Like, it's also extremely common.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I can imagine. So, maybe the last question in this topic, how do people gain mass? Like, how is it, like, if somebody has the wish to gain mass, just like in terms of self-confidence, but also like related to strength, like, do you have any advice to gain?
Well, it's actually quite easy. You train with progressive overload, you train basic movements, and you eat in a surplus. That's it. Like, that's literally it. If you train with progressive overload, you like build strength, and as long as you have that surplus of calories and enough protein, you will build muscle because of progressive overload. And the basic movements are the ones that tend to create the best response from the body. So these three factors are completely enough to build muscle and mass.
Okay. Nice. So we come to the quick question, quick answer round at the end of every interview. So, what do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Pizza, definitely pizza.
Pizza,
no question here.
Do you prefer dogs or cats?
Nothing, because I'm allergic to both.
Oh, okay. What is your favorite animal? Do you have one?
Oh, that's a tricky question. My favorite animal is my training partner.
Okay. Okay. Nice. What was the best location you've been at in holidays?
Cape Fialent, which is like 30 minutes from me. Mm-hmm. It was great. Like, I have some photos of it in my Instagram.
Okay. How would your life be influenced if social media just disappeared?
Well, I'd have to get a job. I'd have to get a job as a personal trainer. I'd have to get some credentials, finish some courses or education, and then work as a personal trainer in a gym. And I'd lose all of my like international recognition, so I'd have to go into competitions more often. But basically, like, I would survive.
Okay, that's nice to hear. Do you have a favorite calisthenics athlete or streetlifting athlete?
Well, it's hard to say, like, I have role models or favorite athletes. Like, I like everyone who is doing this with passion and is respectable to other athletes. That's it. But the ones that I respect the most are the OG athletes, like Adam Rowe or Ranjit, like these kind of people. Like, especially Adam Rowe, because he is like the OG of weighted calisthenics.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have a favorite book?
Well, it's tricky because I've read a lot in last couple of years, and every book is like great in itself. So making favorites is like having a favorite book is like having a favorite memory from your life. Like, it can be the case, but different memories have different like vibe to them, and so do books. But I like a lot of books, but I cannot like name a favorite. This is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the last question that I'm asking normally is dynamics or statics, but this doesn't fit too much. But what do you prefer to look like when you watch calisthenics videos? Do you prefer like it's a bad question. Like, let's say, what do you? Yeah.
Yes, it's a very bad question because firstly, I'm a strength athlete, and like the second thing is that in Russia we have a very biased attitude towards dynamics because there is this Russian style of street workout which is per strength, and as like we have this thing that is called technika, which is basically technique elements which don't really relate to strength at all. And back in the day, all of these dynamics were called like technique elements. Like in classic Russian street workout, dynamics are things like Hefesto, front lever pull-ups, planche push-ups. So basically when your body moves, but it still requires strength. So right now, as I know, in modern calisthenic community, even like things like front lever pull-ups are called statics, which doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But for me, yes, definitely strength training, like strength skills are like they outweigh dynamics by so much.
Okay, like I just know the World of Bar Heroes judging system, and they call it strength dynamics. That's where what they are called, like Hefesto, front lever pull up stuff like that. So static moves, but with strength.
Yes.
But I have the question. This is the final question of the interview. If you have to decide between pull up, like only being able to do pull ups in your life, or just dips, what would you choose?
Dips, no question.
Dips. Okay.
Yes, dips are my love. I love pull-ups also, but dips are just the holy grail of street lifting for me.
Okay, that's good. So, how can people get in touch with you? We already said, like, if they have any questions, they can ask you via Instagram. Is there anything
else? Yeah, just DM me on Instagram. I will answer, yes.
Awesome. So we will put Matthew's Instagram tag in the description. And one question: how can you pronounce your second name? Because I wrote it down and I will try to pronounce it. Zlato Verkhoyavikov.
No. It's in Russian. It sounds like Zlato Verkhovnikov.
Okay. I will not repeat this, but yeah, thank you. This was some a question mark
just
in my
head. Zlat for
yeah, for me, you're Matthew Zlat. And yeah. Perfect. So we're coming to an end of the episode. I want to say thank you to everyone who listened to this till the end. I'm really, really happy, Matthew, that you took the time to be here. And before you are able to finish this episode and say goodbye to the people, I want to say thank you again. And if you want to let this series continue, you can leave a comment down below who should be interviewed next and rate this episode if you liked it and give us feedback. So yeah. See you soon, Gorillas, and Matthew, you can say goodbye.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for this interview. I liked it a lot. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Bye.